You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award winning boutique wealth manager. Normally I like to speak to Aaron Ruttenberg because he's a good communicator and the subjects he chooses himself are really quite interesting. But today he's still going to be interesting. He's still going to be good to talk to, but I'm not going to enjoy the subject matter because it's tax. Is it that time of year again, Aaron?
Lindsay, exactly. It's that time of year. Good afternoon or good morning to your listeners. It is the time where we are not exactly that thrilled, or the subject material we are not thrilled to discuss, but we all do not want to pay tax, especially to the government. So we would prefer to use what we can to our advantage to not let the government take away our taxes to use it for any unplanned trips, should we say.
That came from somewhere, but we won't go into politics. Let's not politicize this chat, but let's have a look at the points that you make. I mean, let's get serious about tax now. And oh, actually, there was one question I wanted to ask you, Aaron. How many of your clients, no matter how wealthy, no matter how successful, no matter how clever and worldly they are, how many of them freeze when it comes to tax and don't do it properly?
95%.
You can't be serious, really.
95% of clients, you wouldn't believe. Some of them want to take advantage of tax. Some of them don't know how to. So they want to learn, but it's about 95%. It's quite incredible. And I think it's because of the admin process. But as soon as I get involved, then we get things done.
Right. Max out your retirement contributions is the first point. What does that mean, max out?
And this is a good point. And I want the list that somebody can either use the article to either put on their fridge or keep with them, but they need to keep this because it just reminds them every year. So maxing your retirement contributions is one of the most powerful ways to reduce your tax burden while growing your long-term savings. You can contribute up to 27.5% of your taxable income to a maximum of 350,000 Rand per year to a retirement annuity or a pension fund. So you need to ask yourself, have you topped up this year? We won't go into the technicalities, but many people leave this for later. They miss the window. Remember, you can deduct this, and when you do, you're in a position where you're paying less tax for every amount earned, and you pay less tax today, more retirement income tomorrow. You leave this as it's excluded from your estate, so that's another massive tax of 20%, and it grows tax-free within the retirement annuity, free of dividends tax, free of capital gains tax, free of interest tax. All these compound to your advantage.
Very good indeed. No taxes are involved there, so well done on that one. And the second one's also very important because it's got a lot of publicity recently, TFSA, tax-free savings accounts, and there have been examples in newspapers and online of people who started saving with the tax-free savings account, which you'll go into in a moment, and how much they've got after so many years of doing so. But don't neglect it, even if some people might say, oh, it's not a lot of money. It is a lot of money. It becomes a lot of money. Tell us more, please.
This is another point. A lot of clients, especially the more wealthier client, will think that it doesn't make a big impact for them, but they're forgetting about their grandchildren or their younger children if they have. This is what I do for my child, because even if, and without giving the numbers, you had to contribute and max out your child or grandchild's contribution from the time they're born and then stopped as you reach this 500,000 Rand limit, you'll be left with a significant amount of money that's been compounding using even a 10 to 12% return on investment, where that creates quite a life changer for them. I'll put it to you that way, but for another time. So for this point, again, you can contribute to yours, your spouse, your child, your grandchild, 36,000 Rand a year, 500,000 Rand for a lifetime. I love these products. And thankfully we've jumped on the bandwagon. In the UK, they're called ISAs, and they can invest in slightly more things than we can, but we're in the right direction. And in the US, they're called Roth IRAs. But you're getting tax-free growth. So you don't get the deduction like with a retirement annuity. You've only got the 36,000 contribution, but whatever happens within there is, again, free of capital gains tax, free of dividends tax, and free of interest tax, which, by the way, when you're doing it for the younger person, should be only in equities, shares, types of investments, which you can do via unit trusts or exchange-traded funds. And when you compound that over time, including the reinvestment of dividends, like I've said, it's not a small number over a long period of time. So do maximize those.
As you get older, medical expenses become a thing, Aaron. You'll find out, don't worry. Before you know it, you'll be going to the doctor three times more frequently than you normally do, being a fit young man that you are. The expenses will go up because medical inflation is incredible. So why is medical expenses part of your list?
You know what? It's part of my list, and please God, I can also make sure that I'm maintain my health as well as part of this list. But if you're on medical aid and you've paid out-of-pocket medical expenses, you might qualify for a medical tax credit. And I had to learn this the hard way, believe it or not, a while ago, so I've never forgotten. So always keep your invoices and your proofs of payment. Sometimes your medical aid won't pay the entire bill, or you run out of medical aid savings. And this is where many people get stuck, and they've got to go back in their history or their invoices or look through their bank statements, and they realize too late that they haven't kept the right receipts. So this can get you taxed back for the out-of-pocket expenses. So when you get your receipts for any medical expenses that has not been covered by the medical aid, keep them, or has partially not been covered, keep them and speak to your tax practitioner with regards to that.
Donations, give with intention. Now, giving is an interesting thing because some people give because they like to give. Some people give because they want to be seen to be giving. Other people give because it's tax deductible. Is it a bit of a minefield, the donation department?
It's not really. All you've got to make sure is when you're donating, you donate to a PBO, public benefit organization, which is able to give you what's called a Section 18A tax certificate, Section 18A of the Income Tax Act. Yeah. Essentially, when you donate to a credible organization, you can claim a deduction of up to 10% of your taxable income. So I would rather reduce tax if I donate money to charity or an organization at the same time, so it's benefiting me and it's also reducing, you know, your tax bill and so the government.
What about gifts? This isn't on your list, but it comes into the sort of the sphere of donations. You want to give someone a gift. I like you, Aaron. You've been nice to me over the years, and I've just got a bit of a windfall, so I want to give you some money so you can have that sauna that you've always wanted in your house. How's that treated by SARS?
A very good question, and something we discuss with clients, especially even though that want to open a trust in the long term for their minor children. So that's another story which we should go through, but you can donate up to 100,000 Rand per year tax-free, right? So better still, obviously spouses are the most powerful forces in tax law because they can gift each other unlimited amounts without triggering donations tax. Donations tax is 20%. The donor has to pay. So if I give somebody, anybody, 1 million Rand, I will only get 100,000 Rand of that million free of donations tax. The 900,000 will be taxed at 20%. I have to pay that as the donor. So if you're a spouse and your significant other has a lower tax rate or is not working for whatever reason, you can actually donate them quite a lot of money before they, you know, their tax bracket increases. So depending on what their tax bracket is, you can utilize that and leverage off of their lower tax bracket to pay less tax on interest, for example, if you want to hold some cash.
Okay, but it's a genuine part of the whole tax umbrella. It's under the tax umbrella. It's very interesting to know because some people like to give. I'm a giver, Aaron, but that's another story. Travel and home office claims. Because of the working from home thing, I imagine the home office claims is a very vibrant department at Brenthurst, and also travel. There must be several politicians in South Africa that are getting lots of travel claim slips being put in at the moment.
Correct. Sometimes you're traveling for the business and they need to give you that capital back. Sometimes you're a commission earner, and if you earn over 50% of your income as commissions, you can claim for travel expenditure yourself. All you need to do, and this is where it mainly comes in, is keep a logbook, It's another administrative burden, but you can get a type of instrument that you can buy online where it tracks your kilometers. You just leave it in your car and you plug it in there.
Yeah.
But you've got that as a digital logbook or a manual logbook, and you then track your total kilometers. You've got your business kilometers and your private kilometers there, and you can use your business kilometers towards a deduction. And the same with your home. If you're working from home, you just need to make sure your home office meets SARS rules and you keep record of rent and utilities. Sometimes your home office only is where you work out of, and you've got to use the square meterage to work out that portion of that relative to your home as a deduction, also relative to the rent you pay or your bond. So we can also help you with that, or anybody that's a tax practitioner that knows how to use or how to understand that would be able to assist.
So you've been whizzing in between certain cities in South Africa recently. You told me off air. Presumably that's the sort of thing we're talking about, or is that covered by your employer?
So for me, that's covered by my employer, but for certain industries, it's not. And SARS are looking at it that you need that capital to be able to get around. So they're giving it to you as a deduction from tax, because without that, you're paying too much out of pocket and you need that capital. For me, I'm fortunate that my employer pays for me to go to wherever I need to go. So it works a bit differently under my situation.
Okay. Now, if you've got a job and you earn an income, but again, another trend like the home working thing that I just spoke about, another trend is getting other sources of income. It might be from a cottage you've got on your property, whatever, or doing some freelance work or even interest. Now, you then have to treat that differently to your normal tax. You have to fill in a form and you have to get it in on a certain date, and it's got to be quite niftily filled in. You can't make any mistakes with this thing. And if you're late, then there's penalties, I imagine.
Correct. There's many penalties, especially if you're a provisional taxpayer. And that means you've earned other forms of income that are higher than a specific amount, such as interest, and you therefore become a provisional taxpayer and you've got to pay tax. And if you don't pay it at those deadlines, then you will be penalized. And also, of course, you know, the way that these things work, even with a retirement annuity contribution, it takes all of your taxable income into account. So you might have a salary and bonus and a side hustle and interest. Interest is the why, or rental income. The interest in rental income can cause you to become a provisional taxpayer. So that's when admin becomes a double burden, other than just a straightforward person who's just earning an income, investing on the side, keeping his interest expenses low, or interest income low, should I say. Then that's pretty much more straightforward. Whereas the person who's a provisional taxpayer has got a few more things up their sleeve that they need to do. So it's best to have somebody to help you, in my view. Otherwise, you sometimes, I find, don't hold yourself accountable enough.
What about capital gains? Capital gains is great. You think, okay, well, I'm paying tax on some capital that has gained in value. But on the other hand, it can actually take a little bit of a gloss off the gain, can't it? I mean, let's say, for example, that I said today, you know what, I reckon that Capitec's going up today and I'm going to buy it. And then 3 months later, my target was achieved, or I had to get out because I needed the money for something else. I sell it at a 5% profit. That's liable for capital gains tax, right?
Well, that's not entirely. So you've actually asked it. You've asked a very good question. And this is why it's good to know the Income Tax Act. Because when you, in your example, sell something under a period of 3 years, and your example was 3 months, that's actually that is income. That is not capital gain. Oh. But if you sold Capitec 3 years later and made quite a profit, then it becomes a capital gain. Because you can be seen as a trader and trading for income, and therefore traders are very short-term in nature, and they might be trading or day trading, and therefore that institutes income rather than capital gain.
Which is greater, sorry to interrupt, which is greater, the three-month tax or the three-year tax, the capital gains tax versus the income tax?
The income tax is greater.
Okay.
Capital gains tax is more of the friendlier tax, because at most it can be 18%. You get a 40,000 rand deduction, but per year. Unfortunately, that is not that much for the higher income earner who might be, who might have quite a large gain. And just FYI, it's not part of this article, but again, it's important to know these things, is you have a 2 million rand primary residence exclusion. So if you sell your house, your first 2 million rand of profit is capital gains tax free. So these are the important things to know. But capital gains are important, because if they are losses, you can actually carry forward any capital losses to be offset against any capital gains, which I have not included there. But it's another important concept that's important for anybody to know, so that they not, so that they understand what they're doing.
So I'd imagine after last year, when a lot of there were a lot of gains in a lot of different asset classes, whether it be property overseas, whether it be, which is obviously different to South Africa, but let's say that again, then property gains in South Africa or stock market gains in South Africa, and capital gains has to come into play. So it must, it'll be a busy year. I think you've got a busy tax year coming up. Donations we've already done and gifts we've already done. So we've got to wrap this up, really. I would say that if you don't get your tax sorted out ahead of time, really well ahead of time, then the, not having your tax sorted out is a tax on your brain, because it can make it can be quite a burdensome worry, can't it, Aaron?
Absolutely. You need to make sure to start with an item on the list. Tick all these items off. There's about eight of them. But some of them, as we've even seen in this discussion, go through into different caveats. I don't know what a certain person has sold, etc. And it's all recorded, and it's all good to work with somebody, even if they've got a capital loss that's carried forward that they didn't know about. I've even talked to a lot of clients. It's not part of the article, but make a note on Section 10C of the Income Tax Act. That's just an important point where you can effectively earn an income, well, a tax-free income from one's living annuity during retirement. These are all little important loopholes that we can take advantage of also by over-contributing. So that forms part of the first point. But take these notes, take these steps, and just be disciplined to get through it. Even if you need to get to somebody that can help you, that's fine, because you'll still save money more than, you know, what you'll pay for the service.
Very good. Okay, get your tax affairs sorted out. So give us some dates now. When do people have to have their provisional tax forms in? When does the tax year end and start? Please tell us.
The 28th of February is the deadline. Ooh. So if you're contributing to a retirement annuity, most of these places, even a tax-free investment, the money needs to be in on the 27th. Never leave it to the last day. So 28th. Is your last day, but try and get it done before the 27th.
Very good. Aaron, you consistently impress me with your knowledge of all things personal finance. So thank you very much for that. It was more enjoyable than I thought it would be. Aaron Ruttenberg is from Brenthurst Wealth, and that was It's My Money.
It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.